Hey everybody, Josh Searson of World Alternative Media here, and we are joined by Tim Pachote of the Liberty Advisor once again here at WAM. And let's talk about something that's kind of interesting out of China. You know, we've seen for many, many decades the IMF as well as the United States Empire go around the world colonizing with debt, basically loaning more money than countries can pay back and then trying to buy up their resources or own their or take over their resources. And interestingly, the IMF is kind of in a way sort of calling out China on doing just that in Africa. It doesn't matter what the entity is that's doing it. It's still, you know, government trying to take over other governments. It's a new kind of conquest, folks, using debt. And I want to go into this article out of Zero Hedge, as it says, as Africa drowns in debt to China, IMF sounds the alarm. Isn't that rich, guys? I mean, really, let's get into this article here. It says, with China's total debt most recently clocking in at a record 350%, the country that a decade ago managed to pull the world out of a financial depression thanks to its massive debt issuance finds itself severely constrained in how much new debt it can dish out. And the result is a paltry credit impulse, which has so far been unable to push China out of its PPI slum, which in turn means that Beijing will continue dumping its exports abroad in a deflationary wave. And yet, with Beijing now severely limited by how much debt it can raise domestically, China has come up with creative ways to circumvent such problems at the international level, where it has taken a page out of America's debt colonization playbook and done virtually the same with the continent of Africa. But first, a quick reminder of an article we published in the long ago 2012, when we showed a map depicting the Beijing Conference, a spin on the Berlin Conference of 1885, which divided Africa among Europe's then superpowers, and which showed how China had quietly taken over Africa and specifically its commodity riches. And you could see the map there. Carrying on, it says, as we warned then, China's noble crusade to modernize Africa would not come cheaply, because less than a decade later, Africa, that final debt frontier, is suddenly finding itself with an all-too-developed problem, too much debt, and almost all of it is owed to China. And you could see the chart there. And none other than the International Monetary Fund is now raising the alarm about Africa's soaring debt level, with about 40% of countries on the continent at distressed levels. Managing Director Kristalina Georgieva said, noting that in some cases we are concerned, in others we see that investing is going to pay off over time. Georgieva said in an interview with Bloomberg TV from Berlin. Needless to say, that's an understatement. Debt levels in the region have been surging as governments funded massive infrastructure projects, usually involving a Chinese co-investor, and are now struggling to collect and grow revenue while increasing their budgets. In Zambia, government debt, including publicly guaranteed obligations, is set to increase to 92% of GDP this year and 96% in 2020, according to the IMF. South Africa's ratio is projected to reach 81% of GDP by 2028, and Kenya recently doubled its debt ceiling to match the size of the entire economy. And I quote, we do advise Kenya to be somewhat more cautious in building debt, but we have seen good macroeconomic policies in Kenya, she said. Our program with the country, our engagement with the country, by and large, are just as positive. Overall, sub-Saharan African debt is set to double in the past decade, largely as a result of China's tactical approach to offshore new debt creation away from the mainland and to its offshore colonies, an outsourcing which we are confident Confessions of an Economic Hitman Part 2 will be delighted to cover. And you can see the chart below. And then as it continues, and I quote, debt on its own is not bad. It is bad when it goes for the wrong things and when it goes with a speed that the economy cannot handle, Georgieva said. In cases where debt is dangerous, take Zambia, we do say you need to really get a handle on your debt. In other cases like Ethiopia, we say you do need to renegotiate some of your debt. Somehow we doubt China will be be losing much sleep over Africa's debt woes. After all, with most of its debt owed to China, once the debt is restructured, it is China that ends up the owner of the underlying assets, effectively colonizing an entire continent's most valuable assets without firing a single shot. Meanwhile, as we noted back in January, just seven countries, the strategically important Angola, Cameroon, Ethiopia, Kenya, Republic of Congo, Sudan, and Zambia accounted for two-thirds of total cumulative borrowing in 2017 from China, with oil-rich Angola alone representing a 30% share or $43 billion, 35% of Angolan 2017 GDP. Ultimately, Angola reached a loans for oil settlement with Beijing tying the country's future oil production to shipments to China in order to service the country's burgeoning infrastructure debt. According to an April 2018 IMF study, as of the end of 2017, about 40% of low-income sub-Saharan African countries are now in debt distress or assessed as being at high risk of debt distress, including Ethiopia, the Republic of Congo, and Zambia. So let's talk about this a little bit, Tim. I find it interesting. Obviously, the IMF isn't saying it's super hardcore, it's terrible, but I find it interesting that the IMF even has the gall to say anything, considering the IMF is infamous for loaning vast amounts of money to countries around the world that can't afford to pay it back, one being, of course, Venezuela, and then trying to own up all of its resources. But I wanted to ask, overall, what do you think of China going around Africa, basically buying up or stealing up, colonizing resources, energy companies, railroads, etc., after loaning vast amounts of money? Because, I mean, it seems to be almost in a war with AFRICOM, which the United States is heavily involved in trying to take over Africa as well. What do you think about this?
Well, thanks, Josh. Well, when you were reading that article, I decided that I would pre-search. So pre-search is a search engine that is not Google. And so we don't want to be promoting those guys. And so I didn't look this up previous. And I just wanted to type in China owning ports debt repayment. And just thought I'd just type it in while you were talking. And I see that pops up China to take over Zambian International Airport, then the one right below it. China to take over Kenya's largest port over unpaid debt. And the next one, China colonizing smaller countries by lending them dot, dot, dot. And then it keeps going on about how Sri Lanka coughing up a port. China owes, you know, Djibouti, you know, will they be the latest country to give up a port to China? And it keeps going on and on and on and on. And I didn't look this up, you know, previous to us talking. And so it sort of seems like, I know you'd mentioned in the article that they're going to take over a lot of these countries and get different assets without having to fire a single shot. And so if you go back to the book Creature from Jekyll Island, the, you know, creator of the central bank, Federal Reserve, Paul Warburg, said, "We shall have a one world government. It's only a matter of through consent or conquest." And they realized that, you know, with the US, its strategy is to go around, go in Afghanistan, borrow money from China first to go into Afghanistan and go bomb out all these other countries. And meanwhile, they're coming in with, you know, all this fake money that they've printed in, getting these countries into debt, and then saying, okay, well, you know what, you owe us, you know, X amount of billions of dollars. How about we just take over your port? I think they're even taking over ports in America too. I believe it was like a Long Beach port in California. I think they've taken over that as well. So, you know, from one communist regime in California, I guess, to another. But, you know, in the article also did bring up Confessions of an Economic Hitman by John Perkins. And, you know, certainly this is, you know, a strategy. The strategy is to, you know, it sounds like the IMF sounds like a fund, the International Monetary Fund. The Federal Reserve sounds like a federal bank that is actually reserving anything. But the IMF acts more like a bank. And the World Bank actually acts more like a fund. And then you've got the Federal Reserve that isn't federal and isn't reserving anything. And so all of these are just big mind words. And then you also think of, you know, who is the IMF? I mean, the IMF is basically America. You know, if you take a look at the underlying, you know, components of the special drawing right, which, you know, is something that we have talked about before in the past episodes. But, you know, essentially America, you know, being able to, you know, say, hey, it isn't America saying this, it's the IMF, even though the IMF are all either countries that are directly underneath our control, or it's through, you know, basically nothing is done without America voting inside of the IMF.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because WAM did a video back in September of 2018 called China is Colonizing Countries and Slowly Taking Over the World. Here's how. And we kind of went into how, you know, China was acting within Zambia, as it says in an article I originally wrote. It says, recently, Zambia succumbed to this practice. Zambian President Edgar Lungu had signed off on at least $8 billion in Chinese project finances. Of that money, $5 billion has not been added added to the total because Zambia adamantly insists that the money has not been disbursed. All the while, more large loans sit on the pipeline. And I went into how China was attempting to take over the state electricity company, ZESCO. I mean, it's crazy because China is really, I believe, trying to create a world order, much like the IMF, much like the United States. I think the IMF and the United States are working hand in hand. I think that China is kind of creating its own little kind of side coalition, maybe all by the script. Maybe it was all part of a big plan. But all I know is that it's crazy the level of fascist communism that we see in China, the technocracy that we see in China that has been pushed to this brink over decades. You go back to the 1970s, Henry Kissinger going and meeting with Mao Zedong, leading into creating an alliance with China that led to the Trilateral Commission under Zbigniew Brzezinski in the late 70s, and opening up the markets to China, causing China to become much more of a greater superpower and becoming more and more powerful all the time. And China is set to take over the United States in overall power in the next couple of years, as is India, and both countries, the most populous countries in the world. And interestingly, China's basically going cashless. They got the smart cities, which aren't really smart. They're more of like an Orwellian nightmare on steroids. And they have, facial recognition everywhere. They have Sesame Credit. They got artificial intelligence news anchors in China now. I mean, it's just getting so crazy. And I truly believe that China is trying to create a world order here. What do you think about the notion of a Chinese world government or world economy as all these countries enter into really dark ages as far as the monetary system goes?
Well, we've heard a lot about, the New World Order and, the ones that, guys like Zbigniew Brzezinski that you were talking about before, and Rockefeller and all these other globalists are trying to set up. But just because we oppose that New World Order doesn't mean that we then are trying to clamor for, Russia or China or India or any one of these other countries to create their own world order. So people are always going to want more control. They're always going to want to, be the ones that, wielding that power. But, for us as voluntarists, we don't want anybody wielding that power. And, right. The fact that people even care about who's the president shows that the president has too much power. But what I think China is trying to do is, and frankly, I think it's a little bit smarter strategy than what America is trying to do, is they're probably realized, okay, well, all this debt, all this funny money, it's never going to be paid back anyway. So we might as well print up a bunch, and while people are still accepting it, we might as well build, some ghost cities, get some actual infrastructure, buy off some rich, and all foreign aid. And I forgot who actually said this, maybe Dr. Ron Paul. But, all foreign aid is, basically, taking money from poor people in rich countries and giving it to rich people in poor countries. It doesn't actually trickle down to the actual, rank and file individual. It just goes to those dictators. And then anytime you do actually try to lift people up out of poverty, like Gaddafi was, not that Gaddafi is some, angel and there isn't anything wrong with him, but, he was trying to create an African-based gold-backed dinar to try to lift, a lot of Africans out of poverty. And, Hillary Clinton had to come over there. She came, she saw, she conquered, and then he ended up dying at the hands of, actual Al-Qaeda backed terrorists.
And then she laughed like a crazy witch. Very, very typical of Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, when she's not breaking out into like massive coughing fits. And I don't know, who knows? I still think,
or protecting her rapist husband, whatever it might be.
Yeah, yeah, all those different things. But yeah, you mentioned I don't know if you mentioned a social credit score, but yeah, China's going to tie all this into a social credit score. They're already, I haven't been over there myself, but I guess everyone's using like the WeChat and different already sort of, digitized a lot of their payment system to begin with. You also mentioned smart cities. Bill Gates actually bought a huge tract of land, maybe about 25 miles southwest of me right now. And they're actually trying to get their first like prototypical smart city going in Arizona, actually not too far away from my house. And the whole thing is going to be, they want to use the 5G system to, track every single thing, every single movement, everything is going to be tracked. And they're going to probably have some offers of, hey, live in one of these cities and, you get, we're going to subsidize you, or we're going to give you these tax credits, and it's going to make it, fun and sexy. And people are going to be like, ooh, look at these little gadgets we get. And we'll, in some respects, we'll make our lives a little bit more convenient. But, that extra convenience is going to be at the sake of us centralizing everything. And really the thing that I think you and I have been trying to promote more than anything is the decentralization of everything, whether it's data, everything really.
Yeah. And I mean, I want to be, before I carry carry on, I do want to note that from now on, when we talk about Bill Gates, we're going to call him Jeffrey Epstein's good friend until that gets into the media. But anyway, I wanted to talk about, you know, that's the Internet of Things, right? And utilizing 5G in order to basically be able to connect all things all the time. And, you know, you don't need to put chips in anyone anymore when you have cameras on every block following people's faces. And if they can test it on the people in China, they can use it on the rest of us too, guys. And I think it's really, it says a lot about, you know, the cashless society and how much control banks have, because I think that this is a great example of if your money becomes more and more worthless, what are you going to do? Run on a bank when it's going all through digital currency via the banking system? I mean, look at it this way. It's centralized government usury, social contract usury, legal tender digital currency. It's not what you think of when you see Bitcoin or especially things like Monero and et cetera. What it really is basically the government and banks completely controlling the populace as a bunch of sheep on a farm. And it's over the top crazy, because if you look at it from that perspective, you can picture it like this. If your money's in the bank, it's not yours, it's a bank. If your money's always going through the banks via digital transactions, legal tender laws, etc., then it's never your money, it's always a bank's, and you are enslaved to the banking system. And that means that what happens when you're enslaved, what happens when you become more and more indebted, you become more and more desperate, you become more and more dependent. And they want dependence, and they're getting dependence, and they got people on their knees under a government honor system with social credit tied in, that they don't allow people to eat at certain restaurants if they criticize the government, because their social credit will come in, they won't be able to make payments, they're followed everywhere, they're taxed to death, there's nothing they can do, they'll go to prison camps if they say anything. I mean, the Chinese government has killed more people than basically any country in the world. The United States might actually be a close competitor, but the Chinese government, going back to Mao Zedong especially, I mean, we're talking about like tens and tens and tens and tens and tens of millions of people dead. And, you know, I just, it drives me crazy because, you know, people keep falling into this. We see countries like Australia pushing those smart cities as well, the smart grids. And we see Sweden doing the same, and Canada's trying that, and the United States is kind of trying to get their way into that. And trust me, it's all going to go in that direction if we don't stand up for ourselves and be free individuals and break free from the chains that so many people revere. As we start to close this off, Tim, obviously the global monetary system is in a huge crisis. It's an everything bubble. There's a currency bubbles. They're pumping vast amounts of currency into the markets in countries around the world. It's just over the top. And you mentioned ghost cities, which China's just been doing for years. And they do eventually fill the buildings, but then by the time they fill them, they have already built another one. But with that said, a lot of people are scared about this, and reasonably so. But what do you think you can tell people as an advisor, in your opinion, what people can do to protect themselves going down the line? I think there's more solutions than problems. What do you think?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, you know, since I am SEC registered, I have to give the caveats of, you know, this is not financial advice. Go talk to your own advisor for informational purposes only. But if you don't have an advisor, maybe you don't like their advisor, you know, we do have a link down below, and I'm willing to give anyone, you know, a 15-minute consultation. And I do work with, you know, I think one of the big questions I get, you know, do I only work with Bitcoin? And, you know, and the answer to that is no. A lot of people, they don't have any Bitcoin, they don't want any Bitcoin, and we just do regular traditional investments, but we do it with a spin where we know what the max downside they could possibly lose in that vehicle is. So what I'd recommend is that people have a plan first and foremost. They should know how much they absolutely need in retirement, and then they should know how much they ideally would like to have. And then we will plan for a situation where if, you know, everything goes to hell in a handbasket, we can at least make, you know, the bare minimum that they would need in retirement. But then we also want to be able to plan you know, for a lot of the risks that are out there, because there's so many different risks that are out there. So, you know, there's inflation risks, you know, obviously we know what that is, prices rising. There's also deflation risks, there's interest rate risks. That's the risk of, you know, bond prices actually rising and the Fed losing control. And unfortunately, you have $1 million and, you know, a 10-year bond, rates go up 1%, you know, boom, now I've got 900,000. And it's okay if you're rich enough to just take out the principal, just take out the interest, but the interest is almost nothing. And then, you know, you've got sequence of return risk where that's, you know, where it doesn't really matter what your average return return is in retirement. It's only really matters what the order of those returns are. So, you know, if you start off with, you know, three bad years, and when you retire, it's pretty much game over. And so in that case, it doesn't matter if you average 10, if year one, you're down 40. So we've got ways where we can protect to make sure you don't go down 40% year one, year two, or year three. And then also, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of opportunities to make a lot of money from this, depending on how this shakes out. There's only a few ways it can shake out. It's either probably going to, you know, crash big, and then there's going to be a lot of opportunities if you have the liquidity to do so when things go back up. Or things are never going to go down, and they're just going to, you know, or they'll go down a tiny bit and then skyrocket because we're going to print a bunch of money and make things worth less and less, right, and less, as a point that you've alluded to before. So there's a lot of different things that, you know, that you're trying to hedge. A lot of people are really good at hedging maybe inflation or hedging, you know, the market going down, but there's other things that you need to hedge. This is something I've thought about, you know, every second of every day, pretty much since I've been in the business, which was the day Lehman Brothers crashed, was the first day in the business. And so, you know, I'm somebody that, you know, has, you know, sticks to his words. We've got the link down below. So if you aren't really sure, I'd be, you know, welcome to see if we'd be a good fit for one another. And a lot of people, they haven't been necessarily been a good fit, but I've given them what I think is a lot of good advice moving forward. And then also, you know, Wham itself right now with YouTube demonetization, you know, it is hurting. And so, you know, as I'm getting more money and getting more clients from Wham, then I'm going through and trying to, you know, pay for video editors, pay for other things. So then that way Josh doesn't need to necessarily focus on, you know, getting out the news and not, you know, doing all the little intricacies, because, you know, guys like Alex Jones, you know, they work out tens of millions of dollars a year. And YouTube is absolutely, you know, taking a hammer to us. So that's one of the ways that you guys can help, and sharing the links and going on visiting Josh on Float, and I'll let him get the rest. But anyways, you know, thank you for having me on, and definitely appreciate it.
Yeah, everyone can check out the Liberty Advisor linked below. There's a bit.ly link below the video in the description, as well as the comments to check out Tim and get involved if you wish. And now I want to close it off by mentioning, I mean, I know that there are some benefits, obviously, to Chinese investment in Africa and American investment in Africa, etc. There are some benefits. There also are some benefits to stealing someone's wallet. You have the wallet, but you're also a bad person if you do that. So I want to make that clear. I mean, when I was in Mauritania, Africa earlier this year, I saw two kinds of people outside of the locals there. I saw very, very, very wealthy oil men from the United States. The only white guys I saw in the whole country the whole time were at the most fancy hotel in Mauritania, which, by the way, is like $130 a night for the best room in the fanciest hotel in all the countries. So that gives you an image into how insanely poor the country really is. It's only 0.2% of farmable land, but they have copper, they have gold, and I think they have some oil too. And also I saw Chinese investors there. I saw quite a few people that were clearly from China within the country, and I did see some Mandarin and some Cantonese language on some places throughout the city of Nouakchott, Mauritania. So it's very clear that they're there. They're the only people that aren't from the country that are in the country, other than maybe people from neighboring Senegal or Algeria or something. And it stood out to me. And I just wanted to give you guys that quick little blurb as I finish this off, because I did experience that. Now, as Tim said, we are basically going down on YouTube right now. They cut us down 90% in monetization since the beginning of the year, and 80% in viewership. We need to raise still $1,190 in monthly pledges by January 1st to save Wham from going under. We need to do it, because YouTube, with their new terms of services, will be taking us down very soon, very likely. And we need to prepare for that as best as we can, and we need to raise those pledges. So we have Subscribestar, where we have subscriber-only content at the $5 tier and up. And we also have, you know, obviously Patreon. Just a dollar or more a month makes a difference, guys. Anything helps. Seriously, we need you guys to save free information online before you have the pedophile mainstream media in the United States or the Chinese technocratic media taking over with their artificial intelligence robot android people telling you the news, as if it wasn't bad enough with the android blondes on Fox News. Anyway, I want to finish it off by telling everyone to comment below what do you think about this story, and to help the algorithm and to let me know that you've watched the video up to this point, I want you to write Free Africa in the comments. Write Free Africa, press comment, let me know that you've watched the video up to this point, because a lot of people just watch the first 5 seconds, write a negative comment, press dislike, and take off. So make sure to counter that by, you know, helping with the algorithm and helping me know that you're actually watching to the end. It means something to me. It does. And make sure to press like, subscribe, notify, all that kind of stuff, and follow us to float.app, float.app, which I'm posting more on than any other social media, and that's where we will be when YouTube inevitably takes us down. Anyway, I appreciate you joining us today, Tim. Always interesting to hear your thoughts on these subjects, and we will be back at you all with much more. So stay tuned for more from WAM. This is Josh Searson and Tim Pachote signing out from World Alternative Media. Find the truth, be the change. Like what you see here at WAM, don't forget to check the links below, GoFundMe, Patreon. We cannot do it without you guys. Every donation is extremely, extremely appreciated as we're getting incredibly shadow banned. We've lost 80% of our audience since January of 2019 and counting. They are ripping us apart here on YouTube. And the only thing we could do in the meantime as we prepare for the next big step is to ask for help from the viewers that support our free information that we try to post on a daily basis. You can also find us on Subscribestar, where just a dollar a month, that's all it takes, a dollar a month is all it takes to truly make a huge difference. If everyone gave a dollar a month, it would change everything for independent media, and we could win this information war, and we can defeat the mainstream medias eventually. And of course, on Subscribestar, we post subscriber-only content that you'll only see on Subscribestar, so make sure to pledge there, become a patron. That makes a huge difference, guys. And also, don't forget to check out our Bitcoin address below in the comments and description, as well as on the screen for you to scan if you please. And also, don't forget to subscribe to us on the alternatives. We will likely be deleted by YouTube in the next 2 years. It's already happening on a vast scale. So make sure to find us on float.app. That's float.app at Josh Searson, as well as at WAM, W-A-M. Float.app is replacing every social media, and I mean, it's just incredible the opportunities it provides for not just creators, but for the average person who wants to get away from these nannies telling them what they can or cannot see. They plan to replace Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Twitch, Tumblr, Reddit, and Patreon. You could subscribe to us on Float and pledge with cryptocurrency. It's really innovative. We are also on BitChute at World Alternative Media, as well as so many others. Minds, PocketNet. You can find us at World Alternative Media on Instagram. There's many options. And finally, don't forget to join us at Anarchapulco 2020, the famous event, the best liberty event known to mankind, other than perhaps Anarcho Vegas 2020. There are two major events coming up that we are extremely excited about, and you can use promo code WAM, that's W-A-M, and save 10% on your tickets to these legendary conferences. There's so many amazing people speaking there. You won't want to miss it. So make sure to support in any way you can, even if it's just sharing our videos, pressing like, pressing to be notified. Anything helps, folks. You are the change you wish to see. Thanks for watching, everyone. And until next time, this is Josh Searson signing out from World Alternative Media. Find the truth, be the change.
I'm sure you have already changed people's minds in your young age because you're involved, and I like that. We'll be right back.